You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, the third of our triumvirate tonight, the third of our trifecta of outstanding guests. You've already heard from Dr. Kevin MacDonald, Ramsey Paul, and now Bill Johnson. William Johnson is an international attorney operating out of Los Angeles. He deals heavily with Japanese and Chinese companies and clients and individuals. He is a graduate of both Harvard Law School and the Columbia University School of Law. He enjoyed Ivy League law school so much, once was just not enough. And so he went to both Harvard and Columbia. He's very much on our side and a longtime friend. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you for having me on.
It's always good to have you on. And as a matter of fact, as I said at the top of the show tonight, a couple of hours ago now, I saw you on another live stream several months ago when you were touching on a topic that I bookmarked in the back of my mind. And I said, the next time we have the occasion to have Bill on, when his schedule matches with ours, that it would be a fantastic topic for the audience. And so that is, in fact, what's happening tonight. So I love to look at maps, Bill. And anytime you put me in front of a world map, you can just, you could leave me for an hour or two. I love looking at the borders. I love looking at all of it. I love maps. If you look at a map of Russia, Russia is a big place. And I think primarily when we think of Russia, we think of its borders with Finland and Estonia and Belarus and Ukraine. But Russia shares one hell of a border with Kazakhstan and Mongolia and China. And even, if you can believe it, North Korea, and separated by a very narrow sea, Japan. And that's what I wanted to have you on tonight. I saw you on a live stream some months ago, and you were talking about this. You were talking about the relationship between Russia and these other countries. And if the West drives them into the arms of Asia, what does that look like? So that's my question to you.
Yeah,
wanted to ask. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I think that I'm afraid that Russia is going to be looking away from the West and away from Europe and looking more towards Asia, and that's going to bode poorly for the white people in Russia. I understand that Putin is going to bring in North Koreans to help fix up Ukraine, all of the destruction that happened in that war after they take over. So I'm a little bit concerned that white people never learn. Of course, I think Putin is a mixture of Europe, and looking at his eyes, he's got some Asian blood in it also. So I don't know. I think that the West is driving them towards the East, and they're willing to work with them.
All right, so this is the topic. This is the topic. Bill is an ardent and a committed white advocate. All right, so there's no doubt about that. His involvement in this movement and in our cause transcends mine by decades. And not to age you, Bill, but just as I want to tell you, out of pure respect and admiration and all of that, that you've been doing the work for a long, long time. But this is what I wanted to talk to you about, because in your business dealings, you have a familiarity with the East that most of our listeners do not have. So this is what I wanted to ask you about with regards to Asia, Japan, China, et cetera. How does that factor into a potential geopolitical realignment with Russia? If Russia is pushed into the arms of Asia, what does that, where does that leave the West? And where does that leave Russia?
Well, first of all, Japan, ever since the opening of their doors in the 1860s during the Meiji era by Commodore Perry, they have looked solidly to the West. If you take a look at pictures of Japan in the 1880s, everyone's wearing samurai suits and, you know, and kimono dresses. And if you look at it 10 years later, they all got boulder hats. They've got derbies on their heads and dressed like Western suits. And ever since that time, they have looked completely to the West. Their legal system is patterned after the German system. Their music is very much the West. Everything has been traditionally the West. So Japan is solidly and will remain solidly supporting of the West, and we'll look askance at Russia's dealings with China. China still thinks, you know, the Chinese characters mean, you know, Middle Kingdom, you know, kind of like the Mediterranean means like the Middle Kingdom there. They believe that the center of the world is China, and so they don't respect the West like Japan does. And Korea is, you know, always been a poor stepchild of China, so they're going to follow China as well. So I think that China and Russia will form bonds closer than they has been. Of course, they've been close for many years because they were both influenced by the communist era. But I think that Japan will stay supporting of the West.
See, that's interesting to me. That's interesting to me. I mean, if you go in and you look at the map and you look at the border that Russia shares with some of these nations, I mean, it is fascinating. But Japan, I mean, Japan, after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, why in the world would they still romanticize the West and all of its degeneracy?
Well, Japan is unique more so than the other countries of Asia, because if you take a look at their culture, China is very gold and gaudy and ornate and rococo. That's China. And Japan is very nature-oriented and woodsy and back to nature. And that fit clearly into the American concept. And so they feel more comfortable that way. After World War II, the Japanese had a real inferiority complex. In fact, when I first went to Japan, not too many decades after World War II, one of the first words I learned in Japanese were inferiority complex and superiority complex, because the Japanese always, to a man, told me they had an inferiority complex after World War II, and they were apologetic of what they did. But now, because a lot of the West has become so degenerate, I'm having a few of the Japanese contacts thinking, you know, maybe we were on the right side after all.
Well, that's a good place to take a pause. We have wonderful Bill Johnson with us for another segment. Always our honor and our privilege to have him with us as a guest, and he's made several appearances on this program, dating back more than a decade now. We'll be back with Bill right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Certainly, yours truly and the esteemed William Johnson believe that we are running down a dream. I believe that tomorrow can be better than yesterday was. I would do what I do for duty's sake, no matter what, and I truly would. But it does give me a little bit extra pep in my step to believe and to know in my heart that we're going to turn this thing around. And so here we are talking about these international interests with Bill Johnson, who is an international corporate attorney out of Los Angeles. And I thought, Bill, that your insights as a result of your business interests in that part of the world would make your take very interesting. But this is something that I heard you talk about on that aforementioned live stream some months ago. And let's talk about the reaction or the understanding of the Jewish question in Asia. Jews can't really guilt the Chinese or the Japanese or the Vietnamese or the Philippines into acting against their best interests as they do with Europeans. How might that factor into the future?
Well, there has always been a small vocal Jewish community in Asia, in Japan and in China. And I have seen a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment among the Japanese. In fact, for the last 40 years, I've experienced a lot of that. I had one time, I had a client who asked me to go to the Los Angeles, Little Tokyo Japanese bookstore and get some books on Jewish questions. So I went into this bookstore right in Little Tokyo, which is in Los Angeles. And I asked the clerk, I said, well, where is your Jewish section? And he said to me, do you mean the anti-Jewish section or the pro-Jewish section? And so there were so many books on the Jewish section that they had them divided up into two different categories, two different sections. And I thought, boy, if the Jews knew that they had it divided up like that, there's a whole anti-Jewish section, they'd be up in arms.
But you're now, I can guarantee you, everybody at the ADL and the SPLC knows it now.
That was many years ago. However, that is from the Japanese perspective. Now, I have a Chinese client who has given me very similar views. He said that he comes from an area that the Jews had lived in China for several generations, many generations, and he thought that he was part Jewish. And I go, brother, he looks like 100% Chinese. And he was more critical of the Jews than any of my Japanese clients were. Now, I've heard anti-Jewish statements by many, many Japanese. I don't have the same depth of experience with the Chinese, but this guy really did not like the Jews, and he was speaking freely. And this, he initiated this conversation. I didn't initiate the conversation, and he doesn't even know my political views. My Japanese clients often know my political views, but the Chinese don't. And so that kind of took me aback.
Interesting.
So I think that there is an underpinning of anti-Jewish sentiment throughout Asia, and it might be not so much they've experienced firsthand, but they've heard the rumblings of the far right, and they've embraced some of those views.
Well, Bill, let me build upon what you're saying here. To the extent that Japan and the Japanese would have an opinion at all about Jews and of Israel and of the Jewish question, what informs them? I mean, what would lead them to a negative opinion about the topic?
Well, I do think that they are aware, for example, that the Biden administration is so heavily influenced by his Jewish cabinet members, and that America has been so ardently pro-Israel over the years, and that they do know that heavy Jewish contributions have made American politicians very supportive of all the issues that Jews embrace. And I think that they see that, and they kind of think, well, this is not good for the world. And so that maybe motivates them to have their particular views. I do know, though, that I have had Japanese clients say to me, oh, well, I want to have a strong, mean Jewish attorney, and you're not Jewish. So they do know that the Jews
they know that they're go-getters.
Person. Yeah. And so they use that sometimes to discriminate against the Jews, and sometimes discriminate in their favor. And of course, all the time I get my clients say, and they always say this in Japanese, oh, he's an American. He's a Christian. He's from Europe, and he's not Jewish. And so they say that all the time, you know. And they say that I'm an English American or something like that. So they make these distinctions a lot. And I hear that a lot from the Japanese. I don't have that deep of experience with the Chinese, so I can't say that they do the same thing. But I do know that the Japanese like to use American white lawyers, and that the Chinese like to use Chinese lawyers. So that I went into the right profession because I get benefit. I get white privilege with the Japanese, or I wouldn't get it with the Chinese. I get my Chinese business because the Chinese don't want to use Japanese lawyers, but they want to use the lawyers that the Japanese use because they admire the Japanese business prowess.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. We could have gone for a full hour on this, but it is very interesting how the perception is there between all of these entangling alliances, I guess you could say. But politically speaking, if Russia is driven into an alliance with its neighbors in China, and they do share a border with China almost to the extent that they share a border with Europe. I mean, not quite as much, but certainly it's pronounced. And then Japan is just a boat row across the ocean. And then there's the Mongolia and Kazakhstan, as we mentioned. What does that look like for the decadent and Jewish controlled west of Europe and of America?
First of all, the Russians will soon sorely regret an alliance with China, because the Chinese operate, particularly on a political level, for China exclusively, and they will beat up Russia as much as they can, and Russia will regret that. But I think that the West is going downhill anyway, and so I don't think that it is good that Russia aligns with China. But I don't know that if they aligned with the West, I don't know that that would stave off our decline and fall anyway.
What is your vision for America, Bill? We have about a minute remaining. If you could write the script, if you could dictate how we go henceforth, what does it look like and how do we?
Well, a lot of blacks and Hispanics are saying we want separation. We want in colleges, we want graduations only among black people. We want to have safe spaces where white people are not allowed. And I agree with that. I think we need to have a balkanization. We need to have white ethno states worldwide where only whites live. And I did an interview with a college professor just last week of Cal State University Northridge, and he and I took that position, and he says, oh, well, you know, you white people can't live without us blacks and Hispanics. And I said, well, give it a try. That's what I want. I want white ethno states.
Well, I do too. I mean, what with seconds remaining, your take on what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi? They tell us they built the pyramids, but they couldn't keep the water flowing in Jackson, a city that they now control by that is now controlled by a black nationalist and his lackeys.
Right, and the people said that if whites still lived here, we wouldn't have this problem. And I don't know if that was a slap on the white people thing that we discriminate against because they're black, or if they realize that they need white people to make it work.
Well, I don't either, but I would imagine if we're being truthful, it's the latter. I think we can agree on that. Hey, Bill, it's always good to talk to you. It's always good to hear from you and to break bread with you as we did just a few days ago. But especially with these international relations, I worry about how it's going to end up geopolitically with Russia, who may be a key to white survival at the end of the day in some ways. And with everything going on in Ukraine, I mean, it's just a shame. But thankfully, we have people like you who have been doing this for far longer than I have, and I appreciate everything you've done going back to the Pace Amendment, your years and years and years and really decades on the beat. Always good to talk to you, brother. Look forward to the next time already.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bill Johnson, everybody. There he goes. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
For the second time this week, NASA has scrubbed the launch of its crew capsule into lunar orbit. A fuel leak is the cause of Saturday's launch being canceled. Escaping hydrogen caused the first scrub on Monday. No word on when NASA might try again. After Tuesday, a two-week launch blackout period will kick in. If extensive fuel leak repairs are required, the capsule could be moved from the launch pad back into its hangar, which would delay the flight until October. In northern Mississippi, a pilot that had threatened to crash his plane into a Walmart has landed on the ground safely. Authorities in Tupelo posted to Facebook that the plane started circling at around 5 a.m. Saturday. They believed that the beach craft was stolen. The pilot, Corey Wayne Patterson, works at the airport, had a few flight lessons, but didn't have a pilot's license. He's in custody and facing charges. This is USA Radio News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code FREE for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code FREE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FREE for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
The Biden administration wants Congress to approve an arms deal worth more than $1 billion to Taiwan in the wake of increased tensions with China over the island's status. The State Department already approved three separate deals proposed on Friday. If approved by Congress, the three sales will send contractor logistics support for Taiwan's surveillance radar program, along with missiles and related equipment. A spokesperson for the State Department says the U.S. being able to provide defense weapons to Taiwan quickly is essential to the island's security. Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev was laid to rest on Saturday. His reforms have been credited for ending the Cold War, and he precipitated the breakup of the Soviet Union, which he called the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. Notably absent from the funeral, Russian President Vladimir Putin, who claimed to be too busy to attend. Gorbachev died on Tuesday at the age of 91. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Now these towns, they all know our names. Six guns sound is our claim to fame. I can hear them say, bad company, and I won't deny.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think I speak for everyone on the program tonight when I thank you for sharing in our bad company. Bad company according to the establishment, according to the system, according to Biden. But I will tell you this, there is no one on earth I'd rather be than James Edwards. And you may think that that's an exaggeration. Yeah, I could be more well off financially. I don't think I could have a prettier wife. I don't think I could be more loved by my family, by my children, by my parents, by my sibling. And to have this fellowship with the true men of the West that we feature on this program on a nightly basis, and let's count them out tonight. Tonight, Kevin McDonald in the first hour, Ramsey Paul last hour, and this hour, Bill Johnson. Yeah, count me in that company. You call it bad, you call it good. I don't care. It's my company, and I share it with Jack Ryan, who is here to close out the show tonight. Jack, we're in some bad company, or is it bad at all?
We are definitely in good company, but we're in bad company compared to the system. And so that's what we are, and we have to accept it, and we have to do what we can, but we're going to have style and have culture and music, but we are in bad company. The system doesn't like us, and they're doing all kinds of bad stuff all over the world and the country. And so that's what we are. We're not goody two shoes stuff. We're not celebrating Harvard and Yale or MSNBC or Hollywood or whatever that is. We don't like that. We are out of power, and we are in bad company. But I like that song, and I like that British group, Bad Company. They're a British English group from the 1970s. I think it was one of the best times for music, for both Black American music, which I love, but also British rock and roll music, Queen, the Moody Blues, and Bad Company. And so it's a great song, whatever your views about politics. But yeah, I love it. I love that song. But yeah, we are in bad company, and we're not in power. We're not part of the system. And you give the presidential the speeches, they're not celebrating us. They're not celebrating our people. They're threatening us. They're looking to take away everything that we have, freeze our bank accounts, do that one. So we are in bad company.
Well, you know, there's no company I'd rather share, to be quite honest with you, Brother Jack. But but that's where we are, and made more
right.
pronounced by, if we
right.
can go back full circle to how we started the program,
right?
Made more pronounced by who they tell us is the president's speech this week. Boy, did he paint some bad company, and I think we sit squarely among it.
Well, I think it's sad to say, but I think that Joe Biden has dementia. I think he's senile. He's being manipulated by other people. They're writing a script, and he's definitely threatening people, and he's threatening people like us. So it is what it is. He's not our guy, but we've been through other things like that. We shouldn't get all bent out of shape. And, oh, my God, Joe Biden – saying some mean things about our people. He's saying, yeah, yeah, right. You know, so that it is what it is, but we're definitely out of power. And this dementia old guy and his handlers hate us. He hates Southerners. He hates traditional Christians. He hates poor and working class white Americans. And he's spending billions of dollars to send them to military to Ukraine, to Russia, to fight the Russians. So it is what it is. It's not good, but we're a tough people, and we've been through worse, and so we're going to make it through it.
No, I do agree with you that, and I do welcome it in some ways. Anything that hastens the national divorce and this sort of acceleration, I do that. However, it is disconcerting if you are a middle-of-the-road believer in whatever system this is. It is a true wake-up call because now, Jack, now, what? Moderate conservatives that voted for Trump are the same as Hitler, or the same as Pinochet, or the same as whomever, or the same as us, or the same as Kevin McDonald and David Duke and all of the people that we feature on this program? That's what they're saying. Now, of course, we know differently between the myths and the reality of all of those individuals, but... there is no difference now between the most moderate of Trump voters and the most extreme of individuals like me, and I'll include myself in that group. If you've read if you've read my Wikipedia article, if you've read any of the articles written about me, the SPLC or the ADL or New York Times or Washington Post or whatever, I'll cut myself in that. Hey, listen, there is no safe cover for you. We're all in this together now. We're all in this together as of Biden's speech. If it was unclear before, it is crystal clear now.
It's crystal clear now. And then the unelected woman Democratic governor of New York State has said she wants to just expel every Republican in the entire state. So that, you know, that is what it is. And it's sad. It's not good. But again, it is what it is. But that Nietzsche speak, that what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. I think that's actually a really stupid thing to say. Like if you get run over by a truck and your legs get crushed or something, it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. But there's some things they have, but we are being persecuted. And so that's what's going on, and we have to accept it. And we can't be rah-rah America, we're going to do, and then we're going to fight the Russians or the Serbs or something like that. No, we have an occupational government that hates us, mostly that hates us, and we just have to accept that and try to do the best we can and get up every morning and try to protect our friends, our family, and our neighbors, given with the idea that our government, our media hates us.
Well, this is something that you texted me, my friend, a couple of days ago, and I'll read it verbatim. The Biden administration, the SPLC, the ADL, the Zayo media, but we repeat ourselves, will now turn up the screws even more on so-called moderate Republicans and civic nationalists to disown us, to throw us under the bus, to do the we are not the real racists, we love Martin Luther King Jr., and, of course, all things Israel and all things Jewish.
Right.
So this is certainly where it's at, and this is something that I actually tweeted. Boy, if I can scroll down very quickly and find it here on the fly. Where is it? There it is. The whole argument that Democrats are the real racists, Biden is the real fascist, that argument by Conservative Incorporated, that argument that Conservative Incorporated loves so much is just as silly and weak now as in light of the Biden speech as it has ever been, Jack.
It is what it is. And, wow, there's so many things wrong about our country. The two-party system that George Washington warned us about. And then if you got two parties where the people that don't like us control both parties, they control the left and the right. And then you've got the left is this homosexual, communist, Black Lives Matter and stuff. And the right is this wave the flag, bomb the Serbs and fight the Russians. So like, which do you like? And you're like, I don't like either one of these groups, you know? And you're like, well, what are you gonna do? And like you've got it. And these enemies that run the Bidens, they always like to use good looking white guys. You know, Biden's, he's old, he's Irish. They always like to use Latter-day Saints, the Romney's, Egg McMuffin, or there, and they go, oh, look at that. Instead of having some really vicious New York Charles Schumer guy coming out, or Tim Wise, that just hates us, they're like, oh, look at this guy, this Mitt Romney guy. He's got a nice family, and he looks good. He wants to have open borders, immigration, and flood our country. He wants to bomb the Serbs and kill the Russians. They're like, isn't that great? And they want to do it. And these people that front for them, they do have a good life. It's like when Jesus Christ said, sooner would a camel go through the eye of a needle than a rich man make it into heaven. And right now, the rich people in our country are usually most often traitors to us. And they're screwing us over. So, like, we have to try to make up. Our people have to get up and try to do what we can. But how are we going to survive? By donations or selling VHF videos at a flea market or something like that? We obviously are in rough and brutal times. But I want our listeners to say, don't give up. Don't despair. Don't commit suicide. Don't do those things. Like, we've been through rougher times before. Just try to keep it, but don't be a dumbass. You know, just don't go along with this crap. So that's my advice tonight.
Well, and to that point, we will actually pick up on that very point when we come back for one final segment in tonight's program with Jack Ryan, our regular contributor. In addition to the great guests we've had tonight, Kevin McDonald, Ramsey Paul, and Bill Johnson. Jack Ryan taking us to the barn tonight. Here we go.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
This mission's important, John. I want you to come with me to help me lead the team. What do you say, John?
I put in my time.
What's that mean?
It means my war's over.
He never draws first blood. He only fights back. The first time was for himself. The second time was for his country.
All right, move it!
This time...
Rambo, something went wrong.
It's for his friend.
Trumpman was a good man, and I'm really very sorry.
You're just leaving him?
What do you expect us to do? Send in a Delta team? Create an international incident?
What about me?
By the way you look, I can see you have no experience in war, do you?
I fired a few shots.
That if you're captured, we'll deny any participation or even knowledge of your existence.
Sounds familiar.
John Rambo.
You'll find out.
I know he is your friend. But you cannot do this. You both will die. For what?
Because you do it for me.
What do you think this man is?
God!
Oh, God, would have mercy. He won't.
Who are you?
Your worst nightmare.
Stallone. Rambo 3.
I'm sorry I got you into this, John.
All right. All right. So that was the official trailer to Rambo 3. Now, you like Sylvester Stallone. I like Sylvester Stallone. Who couldn't like Rocky, Rambo, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot? All of the great movies he's been in. I mean, come on. The guy's an icon. But, Jack had the tough assignment tonight of assigning the most patriotic movie of all time. And he had three in the running. Red Dawn, Gran Torino, and Rambo 3. And by a hair, by a whisker, Rambo 3 won. And I think Rambo 3 is the thing. You know, this is this grizzled war veteran, and you're not doing your duty for your country unless you fight for the regime. You fight for the system no matter what. Am I right, Jack?
Well, it's that. It's a little bit more, but our people are so frustrated for any kind of patriotard movie, conservative movie, that they'll lash on to anything that's pro-military and stuff. So this one was back in the 80s, probably before you're like your little kid. And so Rambo goes off to Afghanistan to join these mountain Islamic people to fight the Russians, and they're like, oh, that's got a neat, and these mountain ones, they morphed into the Taliban, and you're like, well, why do you want to fight the Russians? I'm 25% Russian, and you think like, well, there are some issues and stuff like that, but, well, you know, what's wrong with the Russians? And now in the 1960, anyone that said that there was a Russian spy behind the Bush, they're trying to make there be a right-wing conservative paranoid stuff, but then it just switched over that the Russians tried to steal the election, and they were trying to do that. And there's like Trump is in bed with the Russians. I'd love to be in bed with beautiful Russian women like Anna Kournikova and Richard Kovac. And like, why do you want to join these mountain Islamic Taliban people? How did our 30-year invasion, occupation of Afghanistan, how did that help out? Was it good? Did it work out really good? No, we just got expelled, and they made us take the gay rainbow homosexual pride flag with us as they kicked us out, and then we had to take all these refugees. So like, no, I was for the Russians in Afghanistan, and we have the other issues, but yeah, I like the Russians, I like the Serbs, I like the Germans, I like the Poles. And it's always the Hollywood will always try to say the enemy is always some white European people like us, but they're mean. And
that's right. We saw that in Die Hard, did we not? I mean, in Die Hard, Germans are the terrorists, but they're only aided and abetted by the black computer genius who really keeps the whole operation flowing.
No, they have to do that, and our people dislike any kind of military. And Mel Gibson got in a lot of trouble because he got drunk in the backseat of a car, and he said that Jewish neoconservatives were promoting these wars in Iraq. Well, duh.
I'm hey, but
right
you
now.
Know, Jack.
Yeah.
We all remember that. We did a little bit more than that. And then he had his estranged ex-wife recorded him saying, you know, some awful truths and things like that. But you know where Mel Gibson's dad stood. I mean, Mel Gibson's dad was a friend of this program, and I've got his autographed copy of his book.
No, he's got his.
Yeah, I mean, good people. And I met people during the Buchanan campaign that went to church with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, no,
in
they
California.
Have it.
They were part of the California delegation.
Yeah, they have
great,
it,
great people.
Mel Gibson got in trouble for getting drunk and saying, "Well, look at all these movies that paint the English in such bad people, like Braveheart. The English people were rapists. They were homosexual stuff, in the Patriot, they treat them very bad. So in Hollywood, even if it's some sort of conservative, the enemy has always got to be some white, British, English, German, Russian, or Serbian. They always have to be a bad person. So that was the movie that I picked out, Rambo 3. The other ones that I thought were the worst ever was Red Dawn, where the Russians did paratroops in country Colorado, and they came over. Like, what is there any chance of that freaking happening? I don't really think so. I don't think that there's any snowball's chance in hell that the Russians are going to do paratroops in the middle of Nebraska and come in. And the other one was Gran Torino, where this Viet Korean War guy, he hates his children.
And you know, and Clint Eastwood can't help but act well. He can't help but pull off a stirring performance. But I watched that movie, and I saw it for what it was, and I saw his performance
propaganda.
For what it was, and then the message for what it was.
Loaish and Hmongs are going
to
save
America. They were in opposition to one another, I guess, is what I'm rubbing at.
No, it's really bad. But our people, I'm sorry to say that a lot of our people are not really intelligent. They will just grab onto anything that's remotely conservative, raves the flag, fight for something else like that. And Hollywood will always give them that stuff. So these are the, I don't know, man, you have your own choice, but these were the three most patriotard movies that I can remember: Red Dawn, Rambo 3, and Gran Torino. Do you have any other ones that are that bad? I think they were really bad. Those were what I feel was really bad.
You know, in terms of media, that has to be right up there. The only thing that I could, I don't know if I have a movie that advances beyond that point, but certainly the music of Lee Greenwood. We talked about this last week. I mean, in terms of media, maybe a Lee Greenwood. You know, and Lee Greenwood, he made his whole career off of this patriotic type stuff. But then with the NRA, he was actually scheduled to perform a concert at the NRA convention earlier this summer. And when the NRA came under a little bit of fire, who was the first to run for the tall grass? Lee Greenwood. He canceled his contract and wouldn't perform for the NRA. All American red, white, and blue boy, don't you know? He's all for, you know, your right to bear arms, and he's an all-American, but he's not going to go to the NRA convention that pays his bills, and people like him, people like them who pays his bills, because there was a modicum of pushback in that very moment by the system, and this is how weak and how tepid and how rank these people are, and why I don't have anything to do with them. I mean, Lee Greenwood made his fortune off of singing the songs that are the equivalent of Rambo 3. And the first time the NRA comes under fire, he leaves them to burn in hell because he's heading for the tall grass.
Well, Lee Green was like America's great. But he didn't advocate for pro-Zio neoconservative wars and other things like that. That's why I really don't like Ted Nugent and Hank Williams Jr.
At least Ted Nugent appeared on this show. You know, and Ted Nugent's a little bit better than Lee Greenwood.
Did he say he was sorry? Did he say, I messed up, I should not have promoted?
I don't remember anything he said. That was a long time ago, but I don't remember him saying anything I disagreed with. I can tell you that. I mean, you know, Ted Nugent and Kid Rock are, we're talking about the margins here, but they're a cut above Lee Greenwood. I mean, Lee Greenwood is Rambo 3.
Well,
I like Sylvester Stallone. I mean, he's just an actor. We got to remember, Sylvester Stallone is just an actor. He took a role. He didn't write the script. He's not the producer. He's not the director. I like Sylvester Stallone, but I mean, I don't like Rambo 3.
But that was a bad movie. You have to say that Rambo 3 was one of, I mean, agree with
me. Yeah, I mean, look,
good,
the Russians are the eternal horrible bad guys. Yeah. Russians are bad. Whites are bad.
Right.
Gran Torino, the non-whites are good, and the grizzled white war veteran, you know, has a lot to learn from them.
Isn't it? Yeah, no, it was, but no, we're there. But anyway, I want our people tonight to just say, okay, things are bad. We are being persecuted. So don't be paranoid, but just because you're paranoid it doesn't mean they're not out to get you. So I would say clear up your hard drive. Be careful about guns and porn. Don't have, like, military guns, and don't stockpile literature or racist literature like the New Testament, where Jesus Christ threw out the money changers and stuff like that. Like, don't have the Bible where it says, like, because George Soros people are going to be pissed
off. That was a joke. That was a joke. I heard this. The joke was, what is the most racist book that was ever written? And the answer is the New Testament.
New Testament.
But I actually just did a I just did a YouTube search of Lee Greenwood, and the first three returns are Lee Greenwood songs. God Bless the USA. And Battle Hymn of the Republic. I mean, come on, Lee. I don't know who you are, but you're better than that.
No, it is.
Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Hey, we are we are bad company, but we're good company. And so the listeners of the Political Successful are good people. We're nice people. We like each other. We got to protect each other. But we are a bad company. And these other people that want to be in the system, they want to be associated with us, and they're going to defame us. And
history's written by the victors. We're bad until we're the heroes. And it's all a matter of who's writing the script. So, hey, Jack, I love you. I love you. And listen, great lineup tonight. We had Kevin McDonald. We had Ramsey Paul. We had Bill Johnson, we had Jack Ryan, our regular contributor. He's not a guest, he's a contributor. But I'm James Edwards. Keith Alexander was at Ole Miss game tonight. He'll be back next week if the Ole Miss schedule allows. They do play at home next week. Ole Miss won tonight, so Keith's happy. And I'm happy because I spent time with Jack and Paul and Bill and Kevin. And we're all happy. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Good night, Godspeed. If the creeks don't rise and Jesus tarries, we'll talk to you next Saturday.